Welcome back to our series on the essentials of demand generation. My name is Alex Sessoms, and I'm back here with Chantel Gascoigne. Today, we're covering a series on social media, and specifically in this video, we're going to be focusing on growing your network. Chantel, if I'm a partner, how do I know if I really want to use social media today?
That's a great question, because as important as it is, it definitely has a place. It's definitely a broad reach engine. So if your company is all about making one-to-one connections and building your clients on a very selective basis, then this might actually not be the right fit for you. But if you want to reach a lot of people and kind of build into your funnel using that word of mouth, then this is definitely the right engine for you. This is a place where you can connect with other people. So connecting with potential business partners, connecting with customers that you might be reaching out to in the future, and also a place where you can be found. So where people who are looking for those connections can actually reach out to you without you having to do any of the work.
Great, and we give partners a lot of advice around you're looking to grow your business and you're looking to reach out to new customers. So it sounds like this is a great engine for that.
This is definitely a great engine for that, yeah.
And if I'm going to be using social media, who should I think about adding to my network?
Well, you want to start with the people that you know. So start with your colleagues, anyone that you've made a connection with in the recent past. It's important when you make those connections to add the context to your request so that they know where it's coming from in case maybe they don't remember you from that networking meeting. But starting with the people that you know is always a good first step. Then the next step after that is to start adding people that you want to know. So potential clients and prospects are a really great place to go. That way you can kind of unobtrusively get yourself on their radar. And then finally, as you build new business acquaintances and new connections, continue to add those people to your network and kind of grow your network that way.
So should a partner think about joining any particular groups, especially thinking about what we advised earlier on using LinkedIn? Should I be thinking about joining any specific groups as a partner?
Yeah, I mean, groups are one of the best things that LinkedIn has to offer. So finding a group that is around a subject you're really an expert in is a way that you can help other people in your community, which is going to make them more likely to want to help you later on. And it's also a place where you can position yourself as a thought leader once again, which I know we keep coming back to, but it's so important with social media. So picking your group based on your interests is great. Also, if you have an area of expertise that maybe other people don't know as much about, then it's a good idea to start your own group and bring some more people in. And that way you can kind of have that that position of authority within that community on that subject.
So it's good to start with groups that I have interest in. And then maybe as I kind of branch out into that thought leadership position, then maybe create my own group.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. So I'm a partner. I'm starting to understand all of these different things you're telling me about using social media. How can I get people interested in connecting with me today?
Mm-hmm. Once again, coming back to thought leadership, it's so important. So creating your own content is good, and also sharing other relevant industry articles or articles around the subjects that you're an expert in. That's going to position you as a thought leader.
Is it okay to just post links to things I'm interested in, or do I need to comment on those?
Absolutely, you can. It's always best if you can provide some kind of value, add some value to it when you're posting it so that you're not just kind of spamming your audience. So be selective about what you choose and how often you post. And then if you do that in a really efficient way, then people within the community who are influencers might start to take notice, and they may actually end up reposting and retweeting your content, sharing your content, which is going to give you more visibility, and not just visibility within your own audience, but you reach all of their audience as well.
If I'm looking to connect with specific types of people or specific customers, what's a good strategy for going about that?
Yeah, so there's two different things you can do. One, using the search capabilities within those networks is going to be great. They pull in keywords, job titles, so those things, that's a good place to start. It's also pretty cool some of the stuff they can do now with the targeting and the audience building on some of these social networks. You can actually build a custom audience and target specific types of people with your posts, and that way you're getting your stuff in front of people that you might not normally, that are the people you want to reach, and then you can start building those connections from there.
Great, so you can actually be really targeted with who you're reaching out to. So we both use social media a lot, and mm-hmm. we see a lot of faux pas, we could say. Let's talk about etiquette for a quick minute. What are some of the unwritten rules of social media that partners should be thinking about?
There's a lot of them. So one of them is, you know, always keep it professional and positive. Having a positive tone is really important. I can't tell you how many things I've read about how people who post negatively, even if it's only occasionally, have a much lower interaction rate and engagement rate than people who have a positive tone in the stuff that they promote or and that they publish. Another thing is make sure that you keep your profile up to date. There's nothing worse than meeting you at a networking event and then going onto your profile and seeing a different company there from what you told me that you were currently working at. So keeping that profile updated is good. If you're going to go in and make a bunch of updates to your profile, temporarily turn off the notification settings so that way people aren't getting spammed with all of these updates.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, and then another thing to do, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but when you send out an invitation to connect with somebody, personalize it. They have these standard messages that are included, but it's always good to say, hey, Alex, I met you at that networking event. Great chat about social media. I'd love to connect more. And having that invitation have that personal touch. And also, you don't have to accept every person who reaches out to be part of your network. You want to make sure that the people who are in your network are representing you well. So it's kind of an unwritten rule that you don't actually have to say yes to everybody.
So I get a lot of follow-up questions about who specifically should I accept, and you mentioned that the people that you actually connect with can kind of represent you, maybe for better or worse. Can you expand on maybe thinking about who you want to connect with, maybe if you don't know the person who sent you a connection request?
Yeah, and you know, everybody is going to have a little bit different approach for how they want to go about doing it. I know for me personally, if I haven't met somebody in person or at least had a call with them, I won't include them in my network because I can't vouch for them. One thing in LinkedIn is you'll see that if you're a connection with somebody and you're a couple degrees of separation, it'll actually show Chantel knows Alex through this and this situation. And so by extension, any impact you make on a potential customer is going to be projected onto me. So you definitely want to know who it is that's in your network because your name is going to be associated with them.
So to do a quick review of what we learned today, it's important to connect with colleagues, clients, and prospects. Make sure that you're exploring their networks and their companies. You want to make sure that these people are going to represent you well when you bring them into your network. It's important to participate in groups. You can, that's a great way to learn about what other people in your network are thinking about and make sure that you're connecting with potential customers or partners. Create your own group. So Chantel mentioned a lot about becoming that thought leader. And once you feel comfortable in that position, you might want to think about creating your own group. Make sure that you search and some of the capabilities that these different platforms offer to target who you want to reach out to bring into your network. Make sure that you keep it professional. It's a big red flag to customers when they see things that are negative or maybe don't really represent you in a professional way. Don't spam people. We all know that we don't want to just receive a ton of mail or maybe necessarily links to things without any type of commentary or why we should read that. And then don't be shy. Everyone's there for the same reason. They want to be out there. They want to connect with you. So make sure that you leverage these platforms to do that. So on behalf of Chantel, I'm Alex. And thank you for taking time today to learn some tips and tricks on social media with us.